you need to know that this guy that he is talking about pleased him and asked the right things when God asked him, what would you want me to do? And so this guy's name is Solomon. Solomon was a king. He was the son of King David of Israel. And so I want to talk about Solomon's wisdom this morning, because he was a man that was one of the most successful men that we ever have seen in the Bible. He was just a young man, maybe not even out of his teenage years, when he became the king. His dad had taken over the kingdom of Israel when it was basically running on everybody do your own thing kind of time. Amen. So he is going to, he got to watch his father do great things for the camp of Israel. And then he got to watch his dad make mistakes. Now, back then, you need to understand the educational system. Everybody taught their own kids, and most of the time, it was the father doing the teaching. So in this book, you need to understand that Solomon is writing to his sons the very things that his father told him, okay? So he is the son of a very, very great man, the only man in the Bible that God says had a heart after him, okay? So who can have a better report than that one, amen? So I want to take that concept of whose daddy are we looking at that taught the son that became this guy that after he became the king, God visited him in a dream and said to him, what can I do for you? I want you to think about that question. What if you had a dream and God said, big as light, God said to you, what can I do for you? And this is a young man and could have asked a bunch of real stupid things, okay? But here's what he told the Lord, because he remembered what his dad told him. And his dad told him, son, the most important thing in the world is for you to get wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Okay? That's the most important thing. And when he asked the Lord for that, he said, Lord, man, I'm just a young guy. I don't know how to do anything. I don't know how to lead this massive group of people. And so will you please give me a heart of wisdom and understanding so that I might lead these people? And God's going, whoa, awesome. Give this guy some Coca-Cola. Amen. This is awesome. Then he said, you know what? Because God is generous, everybody say, God is generous. He gave him, Solomon, God gave Solomon the greatest wisdom that he had ever given a man before him or ever would give a man after him. Man, that's quite a statement. And you could tell Solomon had it. Amen. He just was a brilliant man throughout his life. When he came to the place that he was getting ready to write about his life, and he came to grips with the fact that he needed to share his wisdom. Here's what he did. He wrote the book of Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs was written primarily by him. There are a few other Proverbs that weren't. But most of the Proverbs were written by King Solomon. So I don't know about you, but when we got the smartest guy that ever lived, and I forgot to tell you, God's a generous God, and when Solomon just blew him away, he said, okay, I'm going to give you this wisdom, but that's not all I'm going to give you. Now I'm going to add to it the greatest wealth any man has ever had. Amen? So he was a remarkable, remarkable man. And he had a couple of things that he wanted to say to his boys and to anybody else that would read what he was going to write. And I'm going to do this just because my Bible and your Bible probably, if you have a study Bible, has sections in it. So I'm going to read some things out of Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 2. And then I encourage everybody this week, your assignment is to go through the book of Proverbs and try to get it read in a week. There are 31 Proverbs for 31 days of some of the months. Amen? So you can read a proverb a day and get through it for 7 days. If you want to get to the end of the month, you're going to have to read a little over 4 proverbs each day. But I guarantee you, if you will read even just one proverb a day through the week, you will find every time you read another proverb, you will find something that pertains to your life. You'll find answers to things in your life that maybe you've been pondering for a month or two, and you're just going, whoa, I didn't know that was anywhere in the Bible, man. So this is one of the most practical books that there is in all of the Bible. And I'm going to read a couple of places for you so that you can understand the primary points that Solomon's trying to communicate to all of us. He's trying to communicate these truths. And in my Bible, it says this: the first thing that he's going to talk about after telling us what the purpose of this book is, which is to get wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and prudence, and discretion. But here's what he's going to start off with. He's going to start off with telling the readers, here's what you have to avoid. How many think that's okay? Okay. You know what? People will say, and they just don't understand. They just don't know. Okay? But they'll say, you know, the Bible's an old book. The Bible doesn't have anything to do with me today. I am living in a whole different time. I'm living in a technological age where they lived, you know, as cavemen. All right? How in the world would anything in this book that is so old, how would it pertain to me? It's simple, because people are still people. Amen? We didn't change, folks. We are exactly like we have always been from the day that Adam and Eve took us into the place of being, unfortunately, opponents of God instead of children of God. Thank God when Jesus went to the cross for us, he changed the whole thing back. If you do what he says. If you don't do what he says, you're not going to be his friend. Amen. If you're going to have a good friend, you're going to do things for that friend. If they're asking you to do something, you'll do that for them. So here's what he's going to say. He's going to say, you got to avoid some people And this, these are some of the guys you need to watch out for. Hear, my son, I'm going to read this. This is verse 8, chapter 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. That's who their teachers were back then, mom and dad. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, these are the bad guys. If sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole. Man, these guys are really rough, aren't they? Even whole as those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. And it's going to be the purse of the guy that's the biggest and the meanest. We're all thrown together for one purse, and one guy's going to take that purse from everybody else. Okay? So do you get the drift of what he's saying? He's saying there are some people that want to not just push the limits of being a good citizen. They want to destroy the limits of good citizenry, and they want everybody to become a pack of thieves. They think thieves are the greatest. They think thieves are the heroes of their day. So what we have here is we have the beginning of the gang world. Amen? So here we have a group of people that are putting intense pressure on people to join their gang. Everybody's going to get the same cut. Everybody's going to have to be doing their part. When the leaders say jump, they jump. When the leaders say go shoot that guy, you shoot him. Okay? So here's what I want to put out there for you. Doesn't matter where you go, you're always going to find somebody that wants to live on the edge of the law. Anybody know anybody like that? Anybody used to be? Of course, you wouldn't be in church if you still are. Anybody used to be one of those boys? Yeah, hands are flying up in the air. Amen. Real wisdom is steal it. Well, that's okay until you stole it, and now you are so afraid of every cop car that you see that you can't hardly get out of the house. Okay? The bigger the money, the bigger the take, the more they're going to be after you. And you are going to live a life looking over your shoulder. You're living a life where you're waking up in the middle of the night thinking, oh, that's them. Cops finally got me. Richard, you want to just take over from here? It's okay. As I'm thinking, gee, when he's Richard, preach his way better than I could. Hallelujah. Exactly. Cops and Volkswagens now. Amen. So here's this group of people that they think in terms of, I'm going to take stuff. I'm going to steal stuff. I'm going to get mine by breaking the laws of the land. That's what I'm going to do. And he, Solomon, is saying, don't go that way. Now look what he says. This is so awesome. He says, indeed, it's useless to spread the net in the eyes of any bird. How many of you, when you were little boys, wanted to catch a bird, and you threw out a little grain out there and got a box, and that bird no more took your bait than the man in the moon? They just take a peek at that box and they go, I can go get some grain someplace else, boys. Amen. So he's telling them, he says, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. He takes away the life of its possessors. So he says, this thing's going to come right back on you. Yeah. It's going to take your life. And when it does, then you're going to be one of a very elite group. Just check this morning. In the United States of America, there are 2.22 million people in prisons today in America. Okay? But there are 4.75 people on probation. Million. Okay? That are on probation. That means that you have a whole lot of people that are either lawbreakers or people that are trying to get their lives right. Now they're out, but they're under parole. Okay? Neither one of those is really that great. Am I right about that? Okay? I mean, it's nice to be on probation, but boy, you had to spend some time waiting on that. So I just want to get this picture in your brain. When you have people that want to pull you into their outlaw-driven world, run! Run! Turn around and run and say, no, ain't for me. I thought this was a franchise thing. And here we are, the gangs of the world. Amen. The mafia. So he's saying bad people will take you down a road that you're not ready for. Bad people will also do something else to you. That is something in certainly in our culture right now. In our culture right now, people don't pay attention to this, but it's a big deal. And that is, if you hang around the wrong people long enough, you'll start talking the way they talk. And pretty soon you have a vocabulary that is made up of 12 words that all curse everything. So all you're doing is cursing life, and you're living it. The Bible says, out of the mouth comes words that are life or death. So there isn't even a gray area. It's life or death. So what you and I speak, if we're cursing everything out of our mouth, we have big problems having any kind of a blessed life. Everybody got that? Okay. So I'm going to show you a clip from one of the most famous movies of the 50s and 60s called My Fair Lady. I was going to have Kathy sing with it because she can do it verbatim, amen? But there's a clip that a girl that wants to be more than she is hears something she's never heard before. It's all about the way you talk, and she's going to hear it from a professor that is an English teacher, and he's an Englishman, so it's a little hard to know what he's going to say or understand what he's saying, but just listen up real good to some of the things that he's going to tell us, going to tell her.
Cold-blooded murder of the English tongue. Oh, heavens, what a sound. This is what the British population calls an elementary education.
Come, sir, I think you picked a poor example.
Did I? Hear them down in Soho Square, dropping H's everywhere, speaking English any way they like. Hey, you, sir, did you go to school?
What are you taught me for, a fool?
No one taught you. Instead of tyke. Hear a Yorkshireman or worse. Hear a Cornishman converse. They'd rather hear a choir singing flat. Chickens cackling in a barn. Just like this one. I ask you, sir, what sort of word is that? It's ow and garm that keep her in her place. Not her wretched clothes and dirty face. Why can't the English teach their children how to speak? This verbal class distinction by now should be antique. If you spoke as she does, sir, instead of the way you do, why, you might be selling flowers too.
I beg your pardon.
An Englishman's way of speaking absolutely classifies him. The moment he talks, he makes some other Englishman despise him. One common language I'm afraid we'll never get. Oh, why can't the English learn to... set a good example to people whose English is painful to your ears. The Scotch and the Irish leave you close to tears. There even are places where English completely disappears. Well, in America, they haven't used it for years. Why can't the English teach their children how to speak? Norwegians learn Norwegian. The Greeks are taught their Greek. In France, every Frenchman knows his language from A to Z. French don't care what they do, actually, as long as they pronounce it properly. Arabians learn Arabian with the speed of summer lightning. The Hebrews learn it backwards, which is absolutely frightening. Use proper English, you're regarded as a freak. Why can't the English... why can't the English learn to speak?
Yes. I don't know if you caught the part about him saying the schism between those that speak well and those that speak poorly causes the distinction between where you can go in life. He said, if you talk the way that she talks, you would be selling flowers too. Instead of being a colonel in the army is who he was, okay? So we need to understand the way we talk is way more important than you and I have any idea of when we're trying to move up. Now, if you don't want to move up, it's different. But if you're trying to move up in life, there is a way to do it, and that is to start learning how to speak right. Use the English language to build people up instead of tear them down. Okay, it's something that is hideously missing from America. Everybody knows how to criticize. Everybody from the president down to the guy that just gave him the wrong cup of coffee from Starbucks, okay? But nobody does, well, few people are out there being cheerleaders, amen? Because they're so disgusted with everything that they're seeing. So big deal, big deal. First thing, the wisest man that ever lived on the planet, the first thing he said was, don't get caught with the wrong people. Don't get in there. Get out of there. And for your own well-being, please learn how to use your mouth the way it needs to be used. Okay? Now, we're going to go over to chapter 2. Actually, I'm going to go up to chapter 3. I'm running out of time. So, chapter 2, it says to avoid adulteresses. So, I'm just going to go through this real fast for you. The Bible talks about in the last days, they're going to come something called seducing spirits. Seducing spirits. And the man of lawlessness is going to come at the end times too. That's the Antichrist. But lawlessness is a big part of the last days as well. Okay? So we all need to understand there are spiritual forces that are against us. But I will tell you that Solomon is saying you must avoid the seducing spirits. You have to watch them more than anybody else because their whole game plan has something that you and I can rarely shove away. That's not their whole purpose is to get you to bite on the bait. A synonym in my dictionary, a synonym for seduce was bait. Bait. So I'm not a fisherman, but I know enough about fishing that I can say this. I want everybody to catch this if you possibly can. Listen carefully. How many of you have ever been around somebody that loved to fish and they were showing you their collection of lures and they were showing you their collection of bait? Okay? Anybody see that? Okay? Some guys spend half their life trying to get the right bait to go fishing, okay? So what's fishing like if you're the fish? Amen. What's fishing like if you're the fish? Okay, so you are swimming around, and you are hungry, okay? And as you're looking for your favorite breakfast dish, you see this figure outside the water. And you don't know what it is, but all of a sudden, bang, here comes your favorite meal. And you're going, "Are you kidding? I am the fastest fish in the place. I'm going to get that right now." You get up there. You get your mouth the biggest you can get because you're going to get all you possibly can. You clench down on that thing, and there's something inside that breakfast that went through your mouth, came out your nose, and you knew, "I got about 10 seconds to live." What a mistake. I'm gonna submit this to you. You correct me if you think I'm way off. I believe 90% of television advertising is bait. Amen? It's bait. Listen, the fisherman doesn't want to feed the fish. He wants to eat the fish. Amen. There's two big differences there. Okay? And the people that are telling you, "We have a deal for you. $93,000 off on this vehicle just today." Greatest deal we've ever had ever. I'll never forget, as long as I live, I was in the market for a car. And this is several years ago. And somebody had a listing, like they all do. We're having a sale. You can get this brand new Toyota for $199 a month. So I ran down there to get mine. I was looking for something just like they were talking about, and I'm going, whoa, there it is. Every time I looked at it, it was $300 a month. And now it's $199. I walked in and said, wow, I saw the ad on the paper or on the TV, and I said, I'm into this. I want the $199. Those guys looked at me like, what? $199, what? What are you talking about? I said, it's on every station there is. $199 for this Toyota right now. They said, we have never heard of that. I said, you have got to be kidding me. Now, I was a preacher then. And I wanted to use my mouth the wrong way. I didn't think it looked good in the papers, though, you know. Preacher comes in and cusses out an entire automobile dealership. Man, I just said, you got to be kidding me. You are not selling this car for what it's advertised is? That's illegal. Oh, no, it isn't. We know legal, and you don't. Talk about bait and switch. See, that's what it is. It's bait and switch. But we do have this. You can get in it for $299. It was $300. Oh, real good. Okay? Solomon's saying, you've got to watch the people that are giving you bait. And of course, we all know that so many marriages are torn apart by some man or some woman dangling some bait in front of somebody that's married. Mm. Do not be confused. Do not be deceived. That person has a whole lot of problems if they're willing to put the bait out there. What you see ain't what you get. And it's going to end up being the same thing as the bad company. Its possessors are going to lose their life from it. It's going to change their life for the rest of their time on the planet. Okay? The course they are going is gone now when they got the bait in their mouth. And then it jerked them and they went, oh my gosh, what have I done? Now, I wouldn't dare preach a message that was always negative. So let's end up with the positive, all right? Here we go. Here's what God says to all of us. This is chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Man, I tell you, keeping your mom and dad's commandments is a good idea if they were good people. Sure can be bad if it's the other way around. They're bad people. Now, listen to this. If you and I will do what God wants us to do, He's going to lay out for you not bait, but reward. Not bait. Now, this is the real deal. He's got something to serve you that's going to make you take a step up into a new place with Him. So here's what He's going to give you if you do what He wants you to do. It says, for length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Thank you for that. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We're just getting started. Now, everybody listen to these two words. This is what they are. Kindness and truth. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Apparently, when you have kindness and truth in you, which few people do, that are not in church on Sunday morning. You got it. Amen. So, kindness and truth, you have a good quantity of that, but it can get away from you, can't it? Yeah, we all know that. It can get away from you. He says, hang on to it. He says, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor. If there's anything all of us would love to have is walk out of this building today with a big load of favor. Favor because of kindness and truth. Favor going out there and everybody go, boy, I really like you. You just, you know, I've only known you for 3 seconds and I really like you. Favor will do that for you. I shouldn't say this, but it was just, for a parent, it was just too good. We had a daughter that was looking for a job once, and she said, you know, I got to be careful because every job I have ever applied for, I got. So I got to be careful because if I just go in and do the interview, I know they're going to want to give me the job. And I just had to chuckle. I'm going, yeah, it's because mom and dad have been praying favor over you. And you've been praying it too, obviously. But yeah, you won't be at the end of the line when somebody's handing out jobs. Amen. All right. Now, here we go. This is a good day. I know there's lots of people in this room that have heavy hearts for what's going on in the world right now. But listen to this. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In other words, fill the trust of the Lord, the faith you have in the Lord, fill your heart with that and don't let that stinking fear get in there. Don't get that worst-case scenario in your mind. Let the trusting, believing part of your heart be filled. And do not lean on your own understanding. That's what gets us in trouble. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now hang on. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. I'll just look this up too. In the United States, there are in 1 year 70 million admissions to hospitals. That's a wow right there. That's a little over 1 out of 4 people is going to the hospital in America. Just a little, about 4.5. 1 out of every 4.5 people are sick or they're injured. And he's telling you right here, no, 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 that's not going to happen to you. Amen. I'm going to make sure because you put your trust in me. Okay? I'll take care of your body. I'll take care of your bones. And then I'm going to take care of your bank account. Honor the Lord from your wealth for the first of your produce. Give him the first. Don't give him the last. There won't be any left. Give him the first. Give him the first. Do it year after year after year, and your bank accounts will be full. Honor the Lord from your wealth, from the first of all your produce, so your barns or your bank will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. Now, a wise man is always going to tell people you only get wise when you listen to people smarter than you are. The only way you can increase in understanding is you've got to listen to other people. When other people say you're wrong about that, my gosh, don't fight them about it. Amen. Say, okay.
Amen.
Don't just get back in their face, well, why? That's what I think about you. You're not trying to hurt you. They're trying to help you. Okay, man, so people don't take correction today, and they're idiots because of that. They do not understand that law of favor and that law of man, kindness and truth. You want to just be in fighting time all the time. If you just want to engage people with a war in mind, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to have a miserable life. You don't have to have a miserable life. You don't have to be contentious with everybody and everything all the time. Okay? You don't have to. But let me tell you, the world will teach you to do that if you do not listen to what God's saying in his book. This is the last verse that I'm going to read. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves. Well, of course he's going to reprove us because we do the wrong thing. He loves us. He's not going to say, well, you burned your right hand clear off because you touched that stove. So I'm telling you, for the last time, you only got one more hand. Do not touch the oven. Don't do it. Put it in your heart. I'm not going to do that again. Figure it out. He loves whom he, or the Lord loves, whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Father, we want to be the sons and the daughters in whom you delight. And Father, we pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll show us how to escape when we have the bad company show up, how to discern the people that are trying to bait and switch us. And Father, help us to keep kindness and truth in our hearts instead of meanness and lies. Oh, Father, I pray over every person in this building right now to have those words, kindness and truth and kindness and truth and kindness and truth and kindness and truth, are my best friends in this planet. Those two will take me farther than anything that I can imagine. So, Father, I pray that every person learns from these magnificent words of the wisest man that ever lived. In the name of Jesus today, everybody that agreed said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on up, hon. We'll pray over everybody. Glory to God. Go ahead and stand to your feet.